Let's open our Bibles to the New Testament book of 1 Timothy. I invite you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'll read in your hearing verses 17 through 21. Would you please stand? 'Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped, lacking in nothing. You may be seated. As the Apostle Paul closes out his first letter to his beloved son in the faith and fellow minister of the gospel, there are two issues that he has already addressed in this letter that he returns to. These are very important issues. The first has to do with material wealth. Paul has already addressed this in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He addresses it because the false teachers that were plaguing the church in Ephesus in that day were men who were in the ministry for the money. They thought, as Paul said, that godliness was a means of gain. And Paul tells Timothy, well, indeed, godliness is a means of great gain, especially godliness that is accompanied with contentment. It is God's desire for His people to be godly. It is God's desire that His people be content. Paul tells us that if we have food and shelter or clothing, with these things, we are to be content. Why? Well, because if we have these things, we have enough. If we have enough to eat, if we have clothes to wear, if we have a roof over our head, according to Paul, if we have the necessities of life, not the wants, but the necessities of life, then we have all that we truly need. And with these things, we are to be content. He warns Timothy and those who are reading this letter in the church at Ephesus sent to Timothy. He warns them of the desire to be rich. He also warns them about the love of money. And he says that the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And he says that for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Paul then goes on to tell Timothy that he is to flee from these things. He is to pursue righteousness. He is to fight the good fight of faith. And that he is to be obedient and blameless in that obedience as he carries out his pastoral duties. And then Paul breaks into that glorious doxology that we looked at last week, that we find in verses 15 and 16. Speaking of Jesus, he will manifest in his own time, he who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. And now Paul returns to this idea of material wealth. And he tells Timothy that he is to command, your translation might have instruct, that he is to command or instruct those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Now, Paul is to address those who are wealthy in his congregation. Those who are rich, he says, in this present age. He is not talking here about being rich in spiritual blessings. All of us who are in Christ, whether we recognize it or not, are rich in spiritual blessings. God has given to us in Christ spiritual blessings, all spiritual blessings, in the heavenly places. We are spiritually rich as the sons and daughters of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is talking here about material wealth in this present age, in this world in which we live. If a person is rich, notice what he does not say. He does not say that they are to feel guilty about being wealthy. That is not something to feel guilty about. God in His providence sometimes blesses people with great wealth. He blesses their work. He blesses the things that they do so that they prosper to an unusual degree. Material blessings sometimes are an indication of God's blessing upon that man, that woman, or that family. But let me remind you, it is not always an indication of God's blessing. How do we know that? Well, go back and read Psalm 73, where the psalmist says that his feet came close to stumbling. Why? Because he looked at the fat cats. He looked at the rich people and how life was easy and everything was good for them. And then he looked at the people of God who, by and large, were not rich with the things in this world. He looked at their suffering and the things, the troubles of life that they were afflicted with. And for that reason, his faith in God was shaken. And what was the antidote to that? Well, he went to the house of the Lord. And when he went to the house of the Lord, he got his perspective straightened out. He had a change in thinking because he was reminded that the end of wealthy, wicked people is destruction. The end of those who are the people of God is that they will be with God in heaven, where there are spiritual joys and pleasures forevermore. So he does not tell them, the rich, that they are to feel guilty about their riches. Rather, he tells them to be on their guard in relationship to two things that are often besetting sins of those who are wealthy. And in the congregation at Ephesus, Ephesus being a wealthy city, we can assume that there were some really wealthy people in the church at Ephesus. And so Paul says, Timothy, I want you to command, or I want you to instruct the wealthy members of your congregation that they are not to be haughty. Now the word haughty is a compound word in the Greek. It is a verb which means to think lofty, to have an exalted opinion of oneself, or to be conceited. Some rich people are very proud of their wealth. They are very proud of the things that they own. They're very proud of the houses they live in. They are very proud of the vacations they're able to take. They're very proud of the cars they're able to drive. And they look down their noses at those who don't have as much as they have been blessed with. He tells those who are wealthy that they are not to be haughty. Not wrong to have riches, but Paul says in relationship to those riches, don't be high-minded and don't look down your nose at other people who don't have as much as you have been blessed with. Rich people, godly rich people, are to be humble. Godly poor people, godly middle class people, all of God's people are to be humble before the Lord their God. God, we read in the scripture, resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He warns us in the scripture time and time again that we are not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. And this lack of humility is especially prevalent in those who are wealthy. Now, before we move on to look at the second thing, that is not the only thing that people get high-minded about. There are some young men and women who are blessed to an unusual degree with athletic ability. They hone their skills, they work hard, they achieve great success. And there are those athletes, gifted athletically, who look down their noses at those who aren't as gifted as they are. There are people who are highly intelligent, who go to the best schools, who graduate with honors, and look down their noses at people who haven't gone to the best schools and haven't had the grades that they were able to achieve. And so they get high-minded and haughty about their intelligence. So this is a warning to all of us. No matter what our position or station in life, no matter what our gifts or lack thereof, we are all to be humble before the Lord our God. And it is especially important that those who are rich in this present world not be haughty. And Paul goes on to add to that, nor to trust in the uncertainty of riches. Oftentimes, those people who are well off in this world place their trust in what they have, and they find their significance and security in the things that they have. And we are reminded in the scripture again and again how uncertain riches are. The writer of Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 11:28, that he who trusts in his riches will fall. He adds, do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration of it. When you set your eyes on it, it is gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings, like an eagle that flees toward the heavens. I saw this past week on Comcast that there was a list of people, I think it was four families, that said who had it all and lost it. Very wealthy people who ended up in poverty. That doesn't happen all the time, but it can happen, and it does happen. And so therefore, we are foolish if we put our trust in the uncertainty of riches. And Paul has already reminded us in 1 Timothy chapter 6 how foolish it is to desire wealth, how foolish it is to love money, because Paul reminds us of something we all know, and we are often told even in our own society, and that is, you can't take it with you. When you die, you leave it all behind. And riches cannot secure for you a place in heaven. You cannot bribe God. You cannot buy your way into heaven. So on that great day, when we stand before God in judgment, we are going to stand before Him with nothing, except for the most important thing, those who belong to Christ. We will stand before Him, not with pocket full of money. We will stand before Him in the rich, righteous robes of the righteousness of Christ. And it is the righteousness of Christ received by faith that gives us a secure and certain foundation. It is foolish to trust in the uncertainty of riches. Paul goes on to say that instead of trusting in riches, the wealthy are to trust in the living God who has given us all things richly to enjoy. Now here Paul is saying to the wealthy, you can enjoy your wealth. There's nothing wrong with that. But he goes on to say, in relationship to your wealth, do good. Do good that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. In other words, he tells the wealthy that they are to be rich in good works and that they are to be generous. They are to be rich in good works. What kind of good works might Paul have in mind here? Well, in this very letter, Paul has told Timothy of the importance of widows being taken care of by family. And so it is a good thing for people, for brothers and sisters in Christ, for Christian people to take care of their parents. In fact, Paul says not to do that is to be worse than an unbeliever. I met a man 2 years ago who was very very, very, very wealthy. I was at his home on Fisher's Island, New York. 13 bedrooms that home had. It had a guest house with 2 bedrooms. They drove, he and his wife both drove brand new BMWs. They had a very nice home in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And as I was talking to him, asking him if he was going to go play golf, he showed me his hand. He had a big scar on his hand. Said, no, I can't grip a club anymore. He said, when we were at our home in Florida, he said, a shark. I was swimming in the ocean, and a shark bit my hand. And I almost bit it off. And so they sewed it back on, but he couldn't close his hand anymore. But as I was talking to him, he was telling me about his father. And about growing up in Michigan on a sod farm. He grew up working hard. He went to Harvard. He graduated magna cum laude. He went to Harvard Business School. He went to Harvard Law School. An extremely intelligent man who is very, very wealthy. And what did he do with his wealth? Well, he said that his father was still alive. And he built his father a brand new home in that community in Florida where his third house was located. And I thought, you know, that's great. He loved his father, and he was using his wealth to do good for his dad. And that's what we in the body of Christ are obligated to do in relationship with our parents. Peter mentioned this morning the fifth commandment. We are to honor our mothers and our fathers. And one way to do that is by taking care of them in their old age and by providing for them. If we have been blessed materially by God, we are to be generous in relationship to our family. We are to be generous in relationship to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to do good to all men, but especially to those who are the household of faith. And one of the things that we see in the early days of the New Covenant Church in the book of Acts is the generosity of the church. So that there wasn't anybody in the church in Jerusalem who lack anything of importance, anything that was necessary for life. God's people in those early days of the New Covenant Church were a very generous people, rich in good works. What a glorious thing it is to be generous, and what a godly thing it is. Not only to notice the needs of others, but to be concerned about those needs to the point where we seek, if we have the means, to alleviate those needs that our brothers and sisters in Christ have. And not only that, but in the early New Covenant Church, we find them not only taking care of their fellow members in the body of Christ, we also find them taking care of the poor. The followers of Christ were the ones who fed the hungry, were the ones who cared for lepers. And in the early days of the church, they were the ones who rescued children who had been left to die and raised them and provided for them. By the second century, Tertullian was able to boast that Christians spent more on the poor in the street than the pagans spent at the temple. And what was the result? The result was the rapid worldwide expanse of the gospel. Because people could easily see the difference that the gospel made in the lives of those who embraced it. Christians stood out in that society like a sore thumb. Why? Because they were generous, self-sacrificial, giving people. Paul says that the rich are to be wealthy in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Now, Paul is not saying there that the wealthy, by their good works, by their generosity, are going to earn eternal life. No, he is telling them that as a result of the eternal life that they have, because they have it, they are to act with generosity toward others, and in that generosity, they will be storing up for themselves riches in heaven. In other words, the scripture tells us that when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, our works are going to be judged, aren't they? And those good works that we, by God's grace, have been enabled to do, those good works will be what? They will be rewarded. Others may not notice the good things that we do, but our Heavenly Father, who is omniscient, knows the good things that we have done. It's better to do them oftentimes in secret, so that you don't make a big deal out of them, so that you don't make a big show of them, so that you're not feeding into your own pride. Rather, you do them in secret. You do them humbly. You do them for the benefit of someone else, knowing that your God, who is in heaven, sees what you have done. Just like he hears the prayer of those who pray in secret. He sees the good works of those who do them without notice, and do them because it's the right thing to do. In other words, Paul is telling those who are rich to be good stewards of what they have been given. Because you see, their riches are not the result of their hard work, not the result of their discipline, not the result of their intelligence. Their wealth is the result of God's blessing, their labor, and the work of their hands. Therefore, the wealthy have no reason to be haughty, because everything they have has been given to them by God. You might remember these words found in Deuteronomy, where God gives this warning to his people. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given to you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, which I command you today. Lest, when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and my might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. Paul asked the Corinthians a simple question, and it was this: what do you have that you have not been given? If you have been blessed richly by God athletically, remember, it is God who so gifted you. If you are intelligent, remember, it is the Lord your God who gifted you with that intelligence. And if you have done well in this world materially, remember, it is the Lord your God who has given you power to make wealth. We as God's people are to always be humble before him, and we should be thankful for the blessings that he has bestowed upon us, and we should use what he has given to us for the good of others, that we might bless them with the good things that God has blessed us with. And so this is a word not only for the rich, for the materially wealthy. It is a word for all of us in the Church of Jesus Christ. A reminder to be humble before the Lord our God and to give him thanks and to bless others with the blessings that he has lavished upon us. And to always be in the face of our God, a humble and thankful people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this good word from the inspired apostle. We would thank and bless your name for the temporal, material things that you have blessed us with. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, that we might use them for your honor and glory, that we might use them for the benefit of others, that we might not be selfish, but rather that we might be rich in good works. Father, help us to be humble before you. Help us to be humble before others as we recognize that all that we have has been given to us by you. We thank you for those blessings. Pray that you would help us to be wise in the use of them. Glorify yourself, we pray, through your people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.